probably can't feel bad about that because I have trouble finding myself many times. You touch with my infirmity? Well, thank you for the opportunity to share the word tonight. And as you know, the last time I spoke, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1 through 12, and we looked at some of the precious promises and the different things that we're challenged there in that little portion of Scripture. But I'm not going to spend much time reviewing what we covered the last time. But tonight, I want us to think about this this concept here. It's about girding up the loins of your mind. And, you know, I could have gone ahead and finished a whole chapter the rest of the night. But verse 13, I think this concept that's there, that Peter brings out, is something that we all need to think about. And the Scriptures is just full of verses that deals with our mind and so forth. And so let's think about this right here. It says in verse 13 there, and if you don't have an outline, Benjamin's got some back there if you would like one, and he'll be glad to bring it to you. So, and if you don't want one, you don't need it. But listen to what it says. This is the introduction, and this is where we need to be thinking about in our life. It says in verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, I think the thought there is you need to gird up the loins of your mind and get ready, be prepared when the Lord Jesus comes. Because that's going to be quite a day, isn't it? And you know what? All tears would be washed away. There'd be no more crying, no more tears, no more. All these different verses in Revelation. And we'll be in heaven, won't we? We'll be with the Lord when the rapture occurs. And we need to be ready for that rapture because we don't know when it's going to take place. And the best thing that could happen is it would happen within the next few minutes. And you wouldn't have to listen to me. You could listen to the one who's the source of all of this information here. Gird up the loins of your mind. And you know, a lot of people don't know what gird means. And back in the old days, they had girdles. You know what a girdle is? I see some heads shaking. And I remember my mom had a girdle. And I remember as a little boy, I used to help wash that girdle that she had on a scrub board, along with the other clothes that we had in the family. But, you know, the concept there is to gird it up. And back in those days, you did it so your stomach wouldn't push out, right? But here the concept is your mind. And do we need a belt around our mind that could control what's going in? Because what goes in is going to come out, isn't it? It's going to come out for sure. You know, there was an old expression back in the 80s, I think it was, and some of you might remember this, G-I-G-O. Anybody remember that? That's true, isn't it? That's why we need to have the loins of our mind girded up. And, you know, I think back in the old days here, when this was written, you know, the people wore these long outfits, the men did and the women did, and they had a big belt that they could tie and tighten it up as tight as they wanted it. But we need to be doing that with our minds because we don't want the garbage in there, and we know that what goes into our minds, it gets there through our ears and our eyes, right? That's how it gets there. And so we have to be careful what we look at and what we hear and so forth. And you know what? There's some great verses here that I've thought about, and I want to just look at them, and hopefully we'll have enough time. And I know y'all won't be offended if I go over time. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? You know, you think about that. God was mindful of you and me. You know, there was an old song that I used to like to sing on my guitar when I'd be playing downstairs and doing solos. Solo, you couldn't hear me. But the song was, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And think about that. What are we? That God would be mindful of us and be willing to send his son here to die for you and for me. That's a miracle, isn't it? And I mean, when we think about this particular situation here, we need to definitely gird up the loins of our mind. And you'll see all of these verses right here that deals with the mind and how it works. You know, there's a verse in Romans chapter, or a passage in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 there. Look at it. It says, this is what Paul is saying. And he had a mind like ours. But listen to what he said. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do it. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And it's hard to believe that Paul wrote this, right? That, you know, he had a mind. He wanted to be obedient to God. He wanted to obey his will, but he had a problem in his mind, didn't he? He had a problem in his mind. And the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. And the things he didn't want to do, that's what he did. And you know, it's amazing what happened to him back in the book of Acts. And of course, you know, we've looked at that when our brother here has preached on it. But it's amazing what God did when he saved Paul, didn't it? And Paul had the wrong mind. He was going in the wrong direction. And he was wanting to kill the Christians and bring them into captivity. But, you know, the Lord spoke to him, and all of a sudden he changed his mind, didn't he? But even after he met the Lord and the Lord commissioned him to take the gospel out, you know, he still had this problem in his mind, didn't he? You know, we all have that problem. We want to do what's right, but many times we don't do it because we let the garbage that's in our mind control what we're thinking. And that's when we get into trouble. And let me just give you a couple more verses there in that passage that we just looked at. And listen to what Paul says in verse 20. And I didn't have room to put this on the outline. It says, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law, but with the flesh, the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so, are we walking according to the Spirit or by the flesh? And if we are walking according to the Spirit, we're going to commit sin, right? And it's amazing. When you think about this law working in our mind, it's interesting. If you want to do a good study, just look at Romans chapter 8, and you'll see the concept, the latter part of 7 and first part of 8, the different laws there. And I don't have time to hit on all of those different laws. But it's amazing. And listen to what it says here in Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And it's interesting, if you go back to Romans 8 and look at that, you find that when you walk in the Spirit, you automatically fulfill the law that he's talking about right here, the good law, not the law of the flesh. But, you know, you just think of the struggles that goes on in people's minds. I know Karen and I had the opportunity this past weekend to go down to Charlotte to a counseling session, and it was really good. And it was amazing, the people who were teaching the seminar and all of the struggles that they had in their life growing up as kids. And you know what? The points that they point out in that seminar was that the struggles you have as a kid in your mind, when you become an adult, it will work its way out in your relationship with your wife, your husband, and the people around you. So you need to gird up the loins of your mind, don't you? And those things that get in our mind, you know, the Scriptures tells us how to take care of it and how to get the help we need. And here's another verse I want to think about, Colossians 3:1. It's on your outline. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind not on the earth, but on heavenly things, right? Because if we look at all of the worldly things that's going on around us, you become discouraged. And you know, if you spend a lot of time watching the news on television or something like that, it affects how you think, doesn't it? Because you're putting garbage in your mind in so many cases, and you're not hearing the complete truth. But where do we go to? There's only one book that gives us the complete truth. And so we need to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And it's amazing, the things on the earth and how it works in our lives. But you know, we were once prisoners, weren't we? But we've been set free. You know, I was reading a story. I've got a book that I read, two of them, and it's hymns. And the story goes on about this great hymn. And the story goes about Abraham Lincoln sees an individual being sold as a slave. Okay? And so he walks up and makes a bid and buys the slave. And then after he pays the bill, he tells the slave, you're now free. And so this individual looks at him and said, what do you mean I'm free? You no longer belong to somebody else. You're free. You can go where you want to go. And they said, you mean I can go anywhere I want to go? I can do anything? I'm no longer a slave? And he said, yes. And so this individual told him, he said, sir, would you mind if I go with you? If you loved me enough to pay the debt to buy me freedom from slavery, I want to be with you. That's what we've got in Christ, isn't it? Who do we want to be with? Who do we want to serve? And who do we want to fill up the loins of our mind? We want to set our mind on things above, not things on the world. And you know what is what's amazing to me is Peter, of all people, you know, he wrote this book here, but he was the chief of the apostles, wasn't he? Or at least he thought he was. And he took the leadership in so many situations, but you know what? He didn't have his mind girded up completely until after he denied the Lord three times and the Lord looked at him in the eye and he started weeping and crying. And it changed his life, didn't it? But look at, there's a passage here, Matthew 16. And you remember, if you go back and look at that passage there completely, the disciples, James, John, and Peter had been up on the mountain with the Lord. And there they saw the transfiguration of Christ and they saw Moses and Elijah with him. And so, you know, you remember the story there. And when they came down from the mountain, the Lord told them, don't tell other people about this. But then later on, a short time later, look at what happens in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now listen to Peter's response. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, the Lord said this to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men, or the things of the world. And that was the one who wrote this book here, that's challenging believers to gird up the loins over their mind and have the right mind that's pleasing to God. And you know what? He was mindful of what the Lord was going to do them. He was going to defeat the Roman Empire, and he was going to get to sit at the Lord's right hand. That's what he wanted. Now, is that the mind of the world? Isn't that what we see in the business world today? And we see it in many places, right? I'm going to be number one. I'm going to have the top place. And, you know, when I was in the business world, I got to see that all the time. But we need to be careful what we are looking at. And there's another verse here. It says in verse 24 there, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's it, isn't it? If you want to follow the Lord, you need to do the principles that you see here. You need to deny yourself. You know, I'm not the center of attention. He's the center of attention. He's the one we need to be looking at. And he's the one that we want to see get all of the glory in whatever we do. And I know you know that we've all made mistakes in that area. And, you know, you think about it, and I like to give people a $1 million bill and tell them, you know what, you're more important than this $1 million bill. This is a counterfeit. But you know what God says about you, how important you are? Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You're worth more than this whole world. And Jesus was willing to die for you and to pay the debt that you owe. And so we've got so much to be thankful for. And you know what? It's amazing when you go to funerals and so forth, many times you see the needs in families. You know, in my family alone, we've had 4 funerals in the last 2 years on the Denny farm. And right now there's only one of my siblings left living on the farm. And it's amazing the tears that we saw cried at the death of one mother and 2 of her daughters. And then a month later she dies, Helen. But you know, many times when we see things like this, it causes us to wake up, doesn't it? It helps us see that we're looking at the wrong things. We're focusing on this world and not on the things of the world. And you know what? One of the most important things in the world today is the gospel in it. Look at another verse here I've got. It says in point number three on the first column, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's blinded their minds, hasn't he? Isn't that what Satan wants to do? Is to blind people's mind to the gospel so they can't understand it or do anything else. He doesn't even want you to hear it. You know, what was yesterday? They called it the Atheist Day because the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So it was a day for all the fools to celebrate how stupid they really are and how their mind has been blinded to the simplicity of the gospel. And we need to hear it. And I think it's just quite a blessing to have our mind set on things above. You know, sometimes I play the guitar and sing at different places I go to. And I remember I was playing down in Mebane and I asked a lady there who's in her mid-80s. And she's just such a kind, gracious lady. And I asked her, what song would you like us to sing? And she said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. That's a good mindset, isn't it? I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world has to offer. Look, there's another verse here. The result of lacking this wisdom and not asking God to help us and give us this wisdom, and when we don't do that, we're double-minded. And look at the illustration here. He says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. And what's he talking about here? You know, we want all of the spiritual blessings, and we want God to shower all those blessings on us, but whose will do we want to obey? It's my will be done, right? Not thy will be done. That's double-minded. And, you know, and he said, you're like these waves tossed to and fro. And if you've been to the beach lately, you notice waves come in about every 20 seconds, don't they? Every 20 seconds they'll come in. And if you're not careful, you'll be tossed to and fro, and you'll end up wobbling if it's a really big wave. But we need to be individuals with a sound mind, not a double mind. But look at another one here, 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has given us not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And what kind of mind? A sound mind. And you know what? God has given each one of us a spiritual gift, hasn't he? And you remember 2 or 3 years ago, we did a session here on spiritual gifts. And I think many of you took a little test and you discovered what your spiritual gift was. And you know what? I took that test back in the early 80s and discovered that I had the gift of encouragement. And I have found that has been so so real in my life over these years. And that's when I look at people, how can I encourage them? And many times I find out when I go to encourage them, guess what? They encourage me. But we don't want to lack that wisdom and patience and everything that we read about here that we know we lack. But we need to ask God, and He'll give us the wisdom we need to work in these situations. And we need to be like Timothy. Stir up that gift. And we need to stir it up. For God has given us a spirit, not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that's what we want in it. A sound mind. But look at the next one here. In Philippians 2:19. And we see an illustration of Timothy. It says there, but I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not being things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know His proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy was like a son to Paul. And Paul was so glad. He said, I've never found anybody else that was willing to come along with me. It was like a father and son deal. You know what? And that's what we want to hear from our dads. Well done, son. You did a good job. Thank you. Appreciate your work. And we need to be doing that. And that's what Timothy was to Paul. And Paul wanted him to stir up the gift that God had given him and be about his father's business, not Paul's business. But let's go on here, and I want to try to finish on time. But listen to what it says here. Here's a challenge to mind your own business. Have you ever heard that expression? Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may not lack, you may lack nothing. Isn't that a great, great challenge there? Mind your own business. Because all we have to do is look around. If you were to go to the Y with me in the mornings and sit on the machine and work back and forth like this and pedal for 30 minutes, you hear everything under the sun. You hear all the words that they don't make any sense. Right? But we need to mind our own business. And I remember when I first started going there, I would enter into many of these conversations. But you know where they all led to? Nowhere. A dead-end street. And you couldn't get anything. But we need to just be about our minding the business God has given to us. Mind our own business. And don't get in all the quarrels and all the different things that's all around us. We've got so much to be thankful for. And you know what? You need to be stirred up. Because you know what happens if you sit and park too long in your car? The battery will go dead. The transmission fluid will lock up. You'll have all kinds of leaks and everything. And I don't know how many of you remember, if you're going up Richardson Drive here into town, a friend of mine who was instrumental in me getting saved, Floyd Gibson, he had a truck that he did not want to get rid of. And it was parked right there just before you get to the stoplight where Main Street is at. And that truck was parked there. And over the years, it had a wood bed in it, and it rotted out. And a big oak tree grew up through the back of the truck. And it was there when he died. And it's still, believe it or not, it's still there. They sawed down a tree and moved the truck because he loved that old truck so much. And he was a really godly man. And I remember him showing me a list of people that had been saved that he picked up and brought to church on Sunday. 78 people were saved. What a blessing that was. So let's just continue on here and listen to the challenge that we have to be of the same mind in the Lord. There's a verse here in point number 7. Listen to what it said there. There was two women in this church there in Philippi, and they were having trouble getting along. And I remember Lehman Strauss, when he was here one time, he called Ethiopia and Syntyche, he called one odious and the other soon touchy. Listen to what it says. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Ethiopia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is watching. He's ready to come. And these two ladies, we're not told what the problem they were going through, but they were definitely had a bad odor, and they were soon touchy. And that's what conflict creates, doesn't it? It creates conflict. And you know what? I can remember a brother coming here and preaching back in the good old days, and he said, when conflict starts, the gospel stops. Now, isn't that true? When we can't come together in unity and so forth, we can't agree on things, so we don't know how to work out all the problems, right? And so the gospel stops. And it's not long that you see that when the gospel stops, what's going to happen down the road 20, 30 years later? The church is going to die. And I had a brother that I helped yesterday, and he was telling me about a church that they're thinking about shutting it down. They're thinking about shutting it down. And they're wondering if there's another group, another church that has some people that would like to come in and maybe start a new church. We need growth. Aren't you thankful that what happened in Caswell? Your speakers for the rest of the month is from Caswell. And where did they live at one time? Neil lived right up the road from us. And I remember Joshua, who will be speaking the last 2 weeks. And I can remember that little boy when he was first born and he had come to our house. And all he could say was, twacta, twacta, twacta. Give me a wide on a twacta. And I could drive him around the house there and he'd love to get up there and play with his steering wheel. Guess what he's doing today? He's working for John Deere. He's working for JD. And he's incredible with the talent the Lord has given him in repairing and doing all of these things and in preaching. And it's amazing what's happening in his life. Let's go on here. I'm going to run out of time. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Look at Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does anxiety do for us? It creates more problems than it solves, right? Be anxious for nothing, and we could do several other verses there. But here's another verse. Look over in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We need to be transformed, right? And how do we get transformed? You know, there's many books in the world that can inform us, but there's only one book that can transform us, isn't it? And which book is that? It's the Word of God. And when we do what we just read right here, present ourselves as a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which it's a reasonable thing to do. It's the only smart thing to do. And that's when we'll be renewed. We'll be transformed. Bible in, Bible out, right? Garbage in, garbage out. What do we want to put in there in our minds? We want to be transformed. We want to be renewed in our minds. And listen to what it says here in point number 10. Point number 10, it says, Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Don't set your mind on high things. Because if you got them set on high things, you won't be able to make it. You know, I saw that in the business world. We would have people set their mind on high things. They would come in and become a manager. And within 5 years, guess what? They replaced. And they're gone. They had their mind set on high things. Not on things on the earth. And we need to associate with the humble people, don't we? You know, isn't it a blessing to see people that are humble before the Lord? It's not about them. It's about serving somebody else. And I got a story I want to tell, but I don't have time. But listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's how we get these things to work in our minds, isn't it? That's one of the blessings, that when we try to be one-minded. And, you know, it's amazing. I meet with a group on Wednesday for prayer at 11 o'clock. And today the discussion, guess what it was about? In the churches and how they're disunified and they can't come to agreement on making any decisions. Here's a solution, isn't it? This is a solution. Be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted and courteous. Don't return evil for evil. If you want to have a good life, he would love life and see good days. Isn't that what we all want? We want to have a good life. We want to see and be able to talk about the good old days. Right? Well, he tells us exactly what to do. Turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. Look at another one here. This is incredible. In Philippians 2, again, another verse that deals with being like-minded. Listen to what it says. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And we know that all of you are much better than I am, right? And that's the truth. That's not just something I'm making up. And that's the way we need to look at people, don't we? And when we do that, we can humble ourselves and give them, you know, the encouragement that they need. But the best example you can think of is this one right here, Philippians 2:5. And if you want to go home and look at this passage here, you look seven steps down that Christ took, and then God took him seven steps up. And when we take those steps down, God does what? He takes us up, and none of us will ever compare to what Christ has done or is now as he's exalted at the Father's right hand. But listen to what it says. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was willing to humble himself from the throne he was on in heaven and come to this earth and be mindful of you and me. And it's amazing what he did. It says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. The most humiliating death anybody could experience would be the death of the cross. But listen to what it says in verse 9. Here's the end result. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's got the highest place in the universe, doesn't he? And one day, every knee's going to bow in heaven, and they're already doing that. Wouldn't it be great if everybody did it here on the earth right now? But one day, the church is going to be up there, and they'll be doing it too. But how about the ones under the earth? Where are they? They're in hell, aren't they? And what are they going to do? They're going to bow their knee and confess that he is Lord there too, aren't they? And that's going to be. And I want to close with this verse here. Look at Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Your heart, your soul, and your mind. You know, Mr. Eliot, he said, wherever you are, be all there. That's a good challenge, isn't it? Be all there. And you know, Proverbs 16:1, it says this, "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Who do we want to follow? You know, the preparations of the heart belongs to man. How do we prepare our hearts? You know, if you've been in for surgery, I know I'm going in for some tests here in Monday after next, and I've got to drink 2 bottles of water, 64 ounces of water before I get there. That's preparation, right? And what we need to do is prepare our hearts. But the answer that's going to come out of our tongue, with our tongue, is from the Lord, isn't it? When we are prepared by the Lord to do it. And there's many more things that we could look at. And it says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust ye in the Lord God forever, for in the Lord God is everlasting strength." Let's praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you this evening for this precious word of yours. And Father, we thank you that your precious word, with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us as we read it and as we heed it, it transforms us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working on us. You're conforming us to the image of your Son. And we look forward to that day that we'll be with you and be like your Son forevermore. And so we just thank you tonight for your precious word. And just help us now as we continue in prayer. And we praise you and thank you in that name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.